The Lord is good. But how do we know? Now, we might say, well, I've experienced that goodness, and that's a useful thing. But how do we really know anything about God? See, our experience is not the best measure of how to know God. It's rather what he's told us about himself in his word. And so if you'd open your Bibles with me to the book of Nahum, it's page 993 if you're using the Pew Bibles. And we're going to consider what God tells us about himself. You'd be familiar, I'm sure, most of you, with Nahum. It's the second prophecy about the nation of Nineveh. Grace has ended and judgment is coming. It comes in 612 BC as Babylon besieges and destroys Nineveh. And this judgment comes as comfort to Judah, as their cruel enemy is dealt with by God. But listen as I read just the first seven verses of Nahum chapter 1. An oracle concerning Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum of Elkosh. The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord is avenging and wrathful. The Lord takes vengeance on his adversaries and keeps wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will by no means clear the guilty. His way is in whirlwind and storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither. The bloom of Lebanon withers. The mountains quake before him. The hills melt. The earth heaves before him, the world and all who dwell in it. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the heat of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken into pieces by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him. Might the Lord teach us about himself from his word. The Lord is good. Of course, even in English and also in Hebrew, you know, if you've studied it, that word has a variety of emphases. There's a sense of moral goodness. God is absolutely morally good. He is entirely without sin. There is no darkness in him. He is just in all of his ways. So there's an essence of goodness about God in his moral character. But there are different kinds of goodness. When my wife serves her spinach casserole, she says, "It's good for you. Eat it." And I say, "It may be good for me, but it's not good to me. I don't like it." But not only is God morally good, he is also pleasantly good. He is delightful for his people. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. And when we understand that from his word, we're led to praise him as the psalmist does in Psalm 100. We praise God for his goodness. We praise him for the delightfulness about his dealings with us. First question of our shorter catechism tells us that our primary purpose is to glorify God and enjoy him. Enjoy his goodness forever. God is good. And only God is ultimately good, but not everyone receives his goodness all the time. You have your Bibles open, I hope you do. Look again at verse 6 and verse 7. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the heat of his anger? His wrath is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken into pieces by him. And verse 8, which we didn't read, but with an overwhelming, overflowing flood, he will make a complete end of the adversaries and will pursue his enemies into darkness. And in the middle of those two words of judgment, there is the prophet saying, "The Lord is good." All people, All people in this world, your unbelieving friends and family, you and I, all people experience some of the goodness of God. The rain or the snow falls on the just and the unjust. In Him we live and move and have our being. Every breath that we breathe is because of His kindness. God is full of grace, but His general kindness to all is not forever. His grace toward Nineveh, in response to their repentance at the preaching of Jonah, has come to an end. That generation who had repented have passed away, and there arose a generation who did not know the Lord, nor know what He had done for Nineveh. But we need to be careful, because even in judgment, God is morally good. His justice is always right. His wrath is never sinful. But in His judgment, for some, the pleasant goodness of God will not be their experience. And even in a room in a seminary, I don't think it's a waste of breath to say, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer in your sin, and a believer in this merciful sacrifice of Jesus Christ as a substitute for the death and judgment that you deserve, then your judgment is coming. Turn to the good Lord. You see, the Lord is good, and the prophet goes on to tell us He's a refuge to those. He's a refuge in times of trouble. He's a stronghold. He's a fortress. He's a strong tower. He's a place of shelter and safety. There was a movie several years ago, some of you are too young to probably have watched it, but called Panic Room. And in that movie, a mother and daughter hide in a fortified room in their home as protection, a safe hiding place against invaders in their home. And apparently that movie sparked a lot of interest in safe rooms or panic rooms, a place of safety in your home where you can go in times of trouble. God is a safe place in times of trouble. But sometimes Christians, even well-meaning Christians, will say, well, because God's good, we don't need this. We don't need a safe place in times of trouble, because if God is good, then nothing but good will happen for the Christian. And then they extend that to say, if bad things are happening to you, you must not really be a Christian. Or else you're a Christian with really weak faith. And that is rubbish. That is a lie from the devil. You will have trouble. Jesus spoke to His disciples at the end of His earthly ministry, and He said, in this world, you will have trouble, but be encouraged. And if He'd stopped there, we'd be wondering, what do you mean, be encouraged? You're going to have trouble, be encouraged. No, He says, you're going to have trouble, but be encouraged. I have overcome the world. You will have trouble, but in your trouble, you have a stronghold, a refuge, a place of safety. God's people will have trouble, and in their trouble, the Lord is there. God permits and superintends trouble in the life of His people, but He's always with us in that. And He causes even trouble to work for good. We're having trouble getting a house. Maybe some of you are having trouble with your studies or with your finances or in your family. Maybe trouble with your health or in your work. Maybe trouble with temptations from the evil ones. You will have trouble. You do have trouble. We have trouble. But in our trouble, God is there, a safe place, a refuge, and He causes even trouble to work for good. That's why my brother-in-law could say at the funeral of his 26-year-old daughter, Emily, God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Many of you have heard, if you didn't already know, in the last month or two about Pastor Dave Long, a good friend of many of us who passed away. Some of you will know of Dave and Jenny's daughter, Katie. She lived with pain for many years, debilitating pain, severe back curvature of the spine, and three different surgeries that the first two went bad. And this is what she's written about her experience. With pain as the dominant factor of my life, barely a minute of the day went by when I wasn't thinking about how pain was affecting me. Can I sit in that chair? Can I stand that long? Do I have all the medicine that I need? Will going to this event wear me out? No matter how I hoped, I could not imagine life without pain. Every thought, every action was influenced by pain. The very thought, she says, that I may have many more years ahead was tiresome. Life had become a game of survival, one that I couldn't get out of and that wouldn't end. And then she says this, had I not had the blessing of a relationship with God, I would not have come through. He revealed to me the truth of his promise, I will not leave you or forsake you. I know it was by his power and mercy that I endured. I know this because there are times that I didn't want to endure. Had I been left on my own strength to fight through the pain and the drug addiction, it was addiction to narcotic pain relievers that she was on, I would have given up or given in to the drugs. So I praise God for loving me enough to fight for me, to give me his strength, and to give me a family of believers who cried to God on my behalf. God has heard your prayer, she says. He was with me. You will have trouble, but God is a refuge in times of trouble. But how can you be sure that this is for you? Well, the prophet says in the last phrase of verse 7, he knows those who take refuge in him. Or he knows those who trust in him. Or maybe we could expand it out to say he knows those who trust him enough to take refuge in him. You see, it doesn't really matter if there's a safe place if we don't go there. Right. It doesn't really matter if there's a refuge if we ignore that place of safety. And God knows those who go to that place of safety, who go to his refuge. There's in that word an intimate knowledge, even a foreknowledge, not motivated by you or by me, but by his goodness and his grace. Jesus, you know, said, I know my sheep. I know my sheep. But he also said there will come a time at the judgment at the end when those who have rebelled against him, those who have refused to submit to his kind and good kingship, those who reject their sin and reject him as Savior, he will say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. There's an intimate knowledge of God to those who trust him. I suspect most of you are on Facebook. Somebody friends you. You get a request to be your friend, and sometimes you have to reply back and say, do I know you? God knows me, and he loves me, even though what he knows about me is not very good. Trust in him. Find refuge in him. You must. Otherwise, any goodness that you receive from God will simply add to your guilt when he comes to judge. Trust him, the Lord who is good. Find protection in him as you face trouble. Know him and be known by him. The Lord is good. Let's pray. Lord God, Might we know from your word the certainty of your goodness. And might we know by experience. Lord, you know the particular troubles that any of us are having. Don't let any of us try to deal with those troubles without turning to our good Lord, who is a refuge in times of trouble. Might we remember that Jesus has overcome the world, and might we trust him more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.